Question number 12678, Mr. Ernest Jones, Reel 3.
Mr. Jones, Reel 3. Now, we've just had a chat, and you think perhaps it was April 1916.
It might have been a bit later. It might have been, I don't know.
April.
I'm a bit confused over that.
That's all right. So you'd be just under 19 then. You'd be 18, just rising 19.
That's right, yes.
Right, now, and what happened when you arrived at Precinct? What was the camp like? Can you describe the camp?
Yes, it was... they'd got wooden huts, and there was all different regiments there.
It was a big camp.
Oh yes, very big. The Prezies is a common, you know, was a common where the gypsies used to be. It was all heather and that there, and it was common land, and the gypsies used to be there. Well, then of course in the war it was all cleared and made a camp, and. They put huts up, and we were in huts.
What was your hut like? Can you describe the hut?
Well,
roughly.
As soon as we got there, we were dished out with palliasses and pillow, and marched off to the shed where the straw was. So we got to fill our palliasse and the pillow with straw. Well, of course, I was a bit generous with mine, so I thought, well, I'll have a good bed. But when I come to get into bed, I couldn't sit on it, I couldn't lie on it. But I was rolling off it all the time, so I had to go back and take some straw out to flatten it.
You made it too round.
Yeah, I was too generous. So I had to get rid of some of the straw to get it flatter so I could lie on it. And we had three planks and two very low trestles. And the planks were put across the trestles. They were only about that high.
About a foot at most.
On the floor. And then in the hut, they were all round the outside.
About how many in a hut?
Oh, I should think they'd be about 20.
10 aside then?
Yes. And along the centre of the hut was a big long wooden table and forms, you know, for us to have our food on. And the food was brought from the cookhouse in Dixies, you know what a Dixie is. And they were brought, and then of course the orderly man fetched them, and we were sitting round, and then he did label it out into our basins, you see, because we had one plate and a basin, and I don't think we got any tins then. We didn't tin mess tins, no. We had a plate and a basin and a knife and fork and spoon, and he fill your basin with the soup that was brought in the Dixie. And then there used to be some a lot of afterwards we'd have biscuit pudding that was made out of, it was like a bread pudding made of army biscuits, you know. Have you ever seen one of those biscuits? It was about, you know, square, about 3 inches square, and they were very nutritious, I believe, but terribly hard to know. But I believe there was nutriment in them, but that was it.
So you got all your meals brought by the orderly man to your room,
to
your hut.
To the room.
So what would you get for breakfast, for instance?
Oh, first thing, of course, Now the bugle would go at 6 o'clock. Your valley. You have to get up and have a wash and all that.
Where was the washing facilities?
Oh, you'd got to come out into the ablution sheds. And they were all like the basins and taps, two over each basin, a long hut like with all this.
Is that where the latrines
great
were?
Great long. Pardon?
Is that where the latrines were as well?
Oh, the latrines were a bit further away, you see, and they were more or less all big buckets, you see. There's no running water or anything like that, like in the latrines or anything. And
so you're saying you'd have a wash, you get up and have a wash?
Yes, and then you'd go back and you'd have what they call gunfire. That was a cup of tea. And the lordly man would bring a...
would that be put in your basin?
A bucket of tea. You'd have it in your basin, yes. And...
what was the tea like? I mean...
Sometimes good, sometimes not.
A lot of people, but, I mean, would it be very sweet? Because the army, sometimes they say the army tea is sweet.
Well, to tell you the truth, now, I think I had an advantage there, because I hadn't been used to having things like some of the chaps had, you know, having everything as, like when they were pretty well off and they could buy things and that. Well, I'd lived frugally before. So, I mean, it didn't affect me like it would affect some of the others. So that part didn't affect me. I was glad to get 3 meals a day.
So, however the tea was, you didn't care.
Oh, no, no.
So you got gunfire in the morning.
And then that was, and then you got it at 7 o'clock. Then you'd be head washed and had your gunfire, your tea, and then you'd have to go on parade, you know, in trousers and your trousers tucked into your socks and go on PT.
What sort of PT was it?
Oh, it was running and jumping and drill, you know, everything like that.
Putting your arms out. And
that's right. And then, of course, I mean, that was just for an hour. Well, I fainted twice on that. It did overdo me. You know, it was more than I could stand. I fainted twice.
You weren't very strong then, when you...
No. I fainted twice. And then after we come back and have our breakfast.
Now, what would you get for breakfast?
Well, we'd have bacon. We had bacon and bread. I can't remember what kind of bread and butter. No, I can't remember whether we had butter on it or not. Anyhow, we had bread and bacon.
And that's all. That was bread. Did you get enough?
Cups of tea.
Another cup of tea.
Well, of course, I was ravenous. I could always eat more than I got. And that was for breakfast. Then you'd have to get ready for parade, you see, at 9 o'clock. Then you'd have to get all your equipment and everything, all that polished, and your rifle, you know, cleaned, and all your equipment on and ready.
How would you get? Would that be a full kit inspection, or was that just for a parade?
Oh no, not inspection. No, we just and then of course the bugle had called. There was the half hour call, and then there was the quarter of an hour call, and the all was. You got a quarter of an hour to do it in. You got a quarter of an hour to do it in. And then there was the 5 minutes call. Come along, come along. And then you'd have to mostly let be on the playground then, when that went. Then of course, you'd get into your ranks, and then the fall in would go. You see, fall in A, fall in B, fall in all the company. And you'd be home parade then. See, and then, of course, that would then it'd start. You see, all your drilling and one thing.
Well, let's look at, while we're in that point of the day, we'll have a look at what the training was. I know it's not all done in one day, but we'll look at training then while we're here. Would this start with basic drill? You know, marching drill? Was that how you started?
Yes, like slope arms and present arms and order arms and all the rest of it, you know. Of course, it took a bit of time for everybody to get into handling a rifle. You see, because, you know, it wasn't always as easy to do a thing as it was after we knew how to do it. And, of course, it took time to get to know how to do these things. And, well, that was part of the drill. And that was... you go on like that for so long.
Did you enjoy drill?
Ever so many weeks. And
did you enjoy drill?
Sometimes, not very often though. Because we had some terrible NCOs.
In what way?
They were regular army men. You see, in that war, you see, it was the regular army that took over the training. And they were regular army men, you see, and of course they'd been used to dealing with layabouts and all them as was got in the army, you know, for nothing else, they couldn't do anything else. Now, we were civilians. They didn't seem to realize that we were men, and we were ordinary people like them. Not we weren't the riffraff that they'd been dealing with in the regular army. And they used to call us everything but Christians and treat us anything but human beings. Oh, the NCOs were terrible in the First World War.
Did they use bad language?
Oh, yes, you good knows, yes, you did. You'd hardly know what your name was. Oh, dear, I don't know.
And that's why you didn't like drill.
No, it was a forced program. They'd got to train the men and get them into France or wherever it was. It was a forced program. There was no ease about it. You've got to be rushed. You've got to be trained quickly. And they do. I mean, when you come on the South courses or anything like that, you know, oh, they had no mercy on you. And I mean, not being very tall, you know, when we come to the wall, like.
Well, we've mentioned the assault course, so we'll do that next. What you did the assault courses at Preseath, did you?
Yes. Oh, yes.
What was it like?
Well, it was more or less, you know, there'd be a trench with a bar across. You know, you'd have to jump onto the bar and over the other side of the trench. You see, and then of course there was. Different obstacles to get over, and then of course there was the wall, and you've got to jump up and get your arms on and pull yourself over it. Now, that I could never do that. I hadn't got the strength in my arms to pull myself up, but I had some wonderful pals. They used to come behind me and get hold of my foot, and I'd hang on and give them my foot and give me a pull. Oh, they were some of the chaps were grand, you know.
I'll come back to that.
Oh,
anything else about the assault course?
Well, it was by the time you'd finished it, you were about exhausted, and the way they used to rush you through it, you know, and call you everything, good Lord, I think if you did it right, it wouldn't have suited them, because they'd have nothing to shout about. They'd still shout. Because it was all like that. Everything was forced.
What about route marches? Did you go on?
Oh, yes, we went on route marches.
What would a typical route march be like?
About 20 miles. And
as far as that, when you started them? Or would you work up to 20 miles?
Oh, we'd work up gradually, okay. Yes.
What would a typical march be like then? Would you go as a company or as a battalion?
Oh, no, you'd go more... Well... Now, there'd be more than a company, but not the old battalion. Can't remember the old battalion going on the route march. Well, I was at Preseath. No, not a level training. We were more or less a couple of companies, you see.
Would you march or were you walking? I mean, did they insist you?
Of course, you must remember that that was funny about the 9th Battalion KSLI were not real light infantry. We were doing heavy infantry training.
So you weren't doing the
Light infantry? No, we weren't. We were doing the heavy infantry, the same as all the other infantry regiments there. Now, which the training for a light infantry man is very different to an obby heavy infantry man. We were doing the heavy infantry man. We walked at the slope. They don't walk at the slope of the infantry, in the light infantry. They work at the trail. You see? And we were... So that after we'd done our 3 months training and we were sent all... The 9th Battalion was disbanded.
I'll come back to that. We'll pick that up when we come to it. But I presume you mean that when you went to other battalions, you were all wrong with that.
Yes.
We'll come back to that then. I'll make a note. We'll mention that.
Yeah.
So when you were on a route march, would you have a rest, a regular rest?
Oh, yes, you'd done so
would you
long.
What during
yes.
the rest?
What?
What would you do during the rest?
Did you just sit on the grass bank at the side of the road or whatever it was.
Would you stack rifles?
No, we didn't. No, he didn't stop that long.
How long would the break be?
Well, it might be 10 minutes.
And when you were marching, were you allowed to sing? Or did you sing?
Well, sometimes you were encouraged to, but other times you weren't. And just according, sometimes you'd have the band with you, and other times you wouldn't, you see. But I always liked the band with it because you could march better behind a band than you could ordinary, you see.
And what songs would be sung? Do you remember now? It's a long time ago. What sort of songs did they like singing when they were marching?
Well, to tell you the truth, in my training, I don't know if I can remember many.
That's all right.
War songs hadn't come more to... to be general.
Now, what about, while you're at Preseath, you do your weapons training as well, wouldn't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes.
Let's start with the first one, rifle.
After, what?
The rifle training. You did your rifle training.
Oh, you'd have musketry training. That was loading and unloading and that. But, and of course, you'd have the drill of slope arms, order arms, and... all that.
How did they teach you to actually shoot? I mean, because it sounds simple, but actually it's not that simple to learn how to get the range right and how.
Well, now we were taken to a place where we had dummy ammunition, you see, and we were used a clip of dummy ammunition for firing, you see, and that's how it all went, really. You'd got this dummy ammunition.
How did they teach you to aim?
Oh, well, this was, now, on coming to the shoulder, you take off the first pressure. Align the sights on the mark and take off the second pressure. Bang. Do you know, I hadn't thought about that for years. It just come naturally then.
Did they have one of those machines where you can practice a rifle on a tripod that you could practice aiming with, and then they can see whether you're aiming
no,
right?
No, we never had them.
So that it was just you were told how to do it.
That's right. Yes, you held it up like this. You see.
Did you fire your course while you were at Preseath?
Yes.
And how did that go? Did you do well?
Oh yes, I think it did. Yes, I was Lance Corporal then, and we went to Bettersfield, to a camp at Bettersfield, and we went on the peat bogs there, you know.
That's where the range
that
was.
That was where the ranges were. Well, then we had to march from the in parties from the camp, you see, to the firing butts. And like I'd have a party of men, I'd take, there say about 20, see, to fire the course. And of course the officer would meet you there, you see, and NCOs, and you'd be instructed, you see, of how to, you'd have live ammunition there, you see, and we'd be lying down, see, first of all, lying down, and firing from lying down. Then, of course, you'd be on your knee, you see, and then from there, you'd come on to breastwork, behind breastworks. Now, then, when you were getting to breastwork, you were getting up a little bit and used to firing a bit. And I was there on this breastwork with some more other chaps, and we got the targets, you see, at about 300 yards.
What were the targets? Just butts?
Yes.
The usual ones, yeah.
Yes. And and then we had, I know we had got to send 10 rounds rapid, you see. Got to get 10 rounds off as quick as possible. Good. So then they'd give you the time, you see, load. And then, of course, then they'd give fire. And then you'd start your 10 rounds, you see. Well, every round you'd got to, you know, there was no automatic then. It was a case of push your bolt in, fire, pull your bolt out, and the thing go, press your bolt up again to press another out of your magazine, and then fire again, and then pull it out and anyhow, I'd fired me 10 rounds, and when the markers come up, you know, 8 rounds and 8 bulls and 2 inners I'd got. And I didn't know, but the brigadier was fast standing behind me. He come up to me and he said, "My lad, you want to keep that up?" He says, "You'll be a marksman."
Do you know his name?
No, no idea. I didn't know.
What do you think made you a good shot? I mean, some people think it's steadiness, some people think it's eyesight. What do you think made you such a good shot? Because that's good shooting at rapid fire.
Yes, yes.
What do you think it was that made you so good?
I was very keen. When in my training and everything then, I got keen. You know, I wanted to be something.
So it was because it wasn't any particular quality, you think?
Not exactly, no.
It was just that you were very keen and tried your best.
But I tried to do my best all the time. And that was how it went. And, but, you see, I was in camp, and as I said, I was taking parties of men to the ranges. Well, I'd taken a party to the ranges one Sunday. They fired the course in the morning, and I was bringing them back, marching them back to camp, you see, which was over a mile. And and on the way we had to come to a village where there was a pub, and it was a hot day. And the chap said, "Hey, corporal, and any chance of going in for a drink?" I said, "No, I'm afraid not." He said, "No." So, he said, "Go on, we'll have a very quick one, and we'll be in and out before you know we'd gone." So, I was a bit sympathetic to him. I said, "Well, all right," I said, "but for goodness sake, be quick." And, of course, my mother had made me sign the pledge. See? So, of course, I didn't drink. So, of course, I sat on the edge bank outside the public house. I was sitting there. Along comes the officer from the butts on his bicycle. See me sitting there. Of course, I had to stand up and salute him. And he says, "Where are the men?" I says, "Oh, they've just gone in for a drink, sir." "Don't you know you're still on parade?" Yes, sir. Well, you just get them out, he says, and get them back to camp as quick as you can and report to me as soon as you get there. So, of course, I got to get them together and march them back. And, of course, I had to go in front of the commanding officer and I lost my stripe.
Did you get it back again?
No.
Now, why had they made you? Because we didn't get... Why had they made you a Lance Corporal in the first place?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Had it meant many other duties? Had it meant many extra duties when you were, I mean...
Oh, yes,
what
yes.
What were you doing as Lance Corporal?
Oh, yes, I mean, I had to... like with the orderly man, you see, I'd have to go and help him get him out to draw the rations and take him to the quartermaster stores and all that. I was like supervising the drawing of the rations and different little jobs like that, you see. And then, of course, the corporal had always got a job for you to do. Like the sergeant had always got a job for the corporal to do. And the sergeant major had always got a job for the sergeant to do.
As a Lance Corporal, were you still really one of the lads? Or
oh, I wasn't paid for it.
It was unpaid, yeah.
I was unpaid. I was still one of the lads. As far as it goes, but of course, I wasn't one of them in a way, because I could never go drinking with them or anything of that, because I haven't got the money, you see? And... I never had any pal, as you might say, in the army.
So, did you get on well with them mostly?
Oh yes, I got on all right.
But no special friends.
No, nobody special. I hadn't got the money to go with them.
Weren't there others in the same situation as yourself, though, who didn't drink? You know?
Well, not so many. Not many. No.
Was there a lot of drunkenness, or?
No, not a lot. No, they were there was quite a number of married men, you know. See, and chaps, you know, between 25 and 30, you see, married men. And that.
So they liked to drink, but they weren't drunks.
Oh no, they were all fairly well behaved, you know. Now there was one thing at Preezy, you see. We had leave, you see, to go home, you see, because after we'd done so much training. And but the sergeant major, the quartermaster was in charge of the leave, said that all married men to go first. So of course the married men went on leave, you see, and they had a week's leave. Then they come back and single men were supposed to go after the married men. So I went up to the quartermaster and said, is it time? Can I have leave? And he said, oh no, he said, no, I haven't got some more married men to go yet. No, I can't let you go, no single men yet. And but the married men were bringing a small bottle of whiskey or a some tobacco for the quartermaster, and they were going twice over. So of course I went and asked and if I could go and leave, because I knew this was happening. And he said, oh no, he said, there's so many more married men to go yet. Well, you weren't allowed to argue. You just when he said that, you just had to take it. You couldn't say, I don't believe you, because they're going twice. No, that was insubordination. Oh, no. So, of course, I had no leave. Then, when it was disbanded, and we went down to the 3rd Battalion at Pembroke Dock.
I'll come to that. Yeah. So you had no leave at any time with that?
No,